It's a very powerful book here on DrAlvin.com, The Business of Wisdom, where real leaders and thinkers become the threat. There's so much information, I kind of hate when I'm going to talk about 13-14 minutes, because it really deserves hours of understanding, because he breaks out some things that we need to understand, and perhaps either question or have a lot of dialogue and good debate. The name of the book is entitled Being Different, An Indian Challenge to Western Universalism. I like for Rajiv to give us the full name, and then tell me a brief synopsis of this important book.
Sure. Thank you very much for having me. My name is Rajiv, R-A-J-I-V, and the last name is Malhotra, M as in mother, A-R-H-O-T-R-A. I'm originally from India, but at the age of 20, I actually moved to Chapel Hill, North Carolina, as a graduate student to do a PhD in physics. And now I'm 61, so I've lived 41 years in this country, married, and I have my two kids born and raised in this country. So almost all my adult life, I've lived in the United States, and I'm a proud American citizen. But being from an Indian background gives me a perspective on both cultures. So I thought of writing a book to explain how the two cultures compare, what's similar, what's different. And the reason I'm doing this is because India is becoming very important as a U.S. partner, both for business. A lot of Americans are going to India getting jobs because the economy is booming. Also, in terms of politics and international security, United States looks at India as an ally to fight against Islamic terrorism and also to contain China. So the U.S. interest in India has exploded, and I thought it would be important for Americans to understand more about the history and the background and how Indians are different in their thinking and outlook. And conversely, I also want Indian leaders, business leaders, political leaders, academic leaders to understand my fellow Americans better.
Why was your book, just out of curiosity, being kind of nosy, but also I think kind of helps understanding something here, why is your book published in India in the relationship with the India Today Group opposed to being published here?
Yeah, the book is published by HarperCollins. HarperCollins is a British firm, as you know, but it's a worldwide entity, has operations everywhere. I wanted to publish in India, and I spent the month going around talking to corporate business groups, political leaders, and academic people. I wanted the people in India to understand the United States better and how India is different and Americans are different, and yet they need to have mutual respect for each other. And after finishing that 1 month tour, I'm now back home here, and now I'm starting my campaign in the United States.
Let's look at some of the things that we get through, and you know, this is some really thought-provoking kind of things here. Let's look at the point number one, introduction. And let's understand this. Knowing versus history synthesism?
Yes. One of the ways that Americans should understand the difference of an Indian is that Americans have a very strong sense of history, both the Christian idea of biblical as a very important history, and the Enlightenment or secular idea of America to the founding fathers. So both the people who are religious and the people who may not be as religious have a very strong sense of the historicity of America and its founding fathers and its ancestry from Jerusalem to Europe to America. Now, in India, while there is a sense of the past, there is less emphasis on the literal interpretation of history. So the ideas of God and divine, they are stories, but they are more metaphorical, and they are more flexible, and it's not as big a deal if a person in India does not take those stories to be literal history. So what they are getting out of those stories is the morality, the messages, the role models, parables. They're like parables, you can learn from them. Whereas I think in the American context, history is a much more serious enterprise.
So to help me understand this, and again, my question is not to criticize your comment or your observation, are you saying that there's more of an organic philosophy in India that is more evolving, more growing, more opposed to, let us all go back to the old time way, the good old days, and Is that pretty much a way of looking at things?
Yes, I think you've got it right. I think if you were to tell a group of Americans that, look, let's be religious and spiritual, but let's not access what happened 2,000 years ago, they would not be willing to accept it so easily, because what happened in history was unique, and it's very important to understand it, and without that unique event, it's not easy for a person to be religious. Whereas in the Indian philosophy, every one of us has the Jesus potential. So you can evolve through meditation, yoga, and various spiritual exercises. You can evolve higher and higher and have that experience, even though very few may attain it. And Jesus is a very rare person who attained it, but everybody has at least theoretically that potential. So the dependence on somebody else's historical experience is less important if I can have the same experience myself.
Okay, so opposed to my philosophy, my history, my religion, and et cetera, blah, 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 being something that I contextualize as what someone else experienced, I can actually experience that myself and become that which I heard someone do it many years ago. Is that what you're saying?
You are extremely quick to understand. That's exactly right. A Hindu, somebody from an Indian background, would appreciate Jesus as a great role model of what each of us can be, and each of us can have the same experiences and be able to know for ourselves what the Sermon on the Mount says. So it's good to learn what Jesus experienced, but that's not the end of it. The idea is that we have to become that way, and we have that potential in us. So we are not history dependent in the sense that that what happened in the past will never happen again, and that that matter is closed. It's a living reality, and so what happened in the past is also happening now.
Okay, like I said, I figured we could only talk about one thing because, you know, you, in a couple of chapters here, you gave us a whole lot of information in one little chapter here. Okay, so let's take an example. There's a guy named St. Paul who talks about thinking. I need to think on things that are lovely, pure, virtue, praise. I need to have a certain reference frame of mind. Jesus said, take no thought. And I know, for example, a lot of persons, Americans, are losing in its brand, and I'm saying in a positive way, but we only have a short period of time, so I get to a point, of theology, because a lot of the world leaders love to be involved with this thing called mindfulness. It's not that Christianity doesn't teach it, but doesn't practice it. So it's important to have a sense or a successful mind, it seems, or a healthy mind, or balanced mind, or wholesome mind, have some form of mindfulness in their philosophy.
Yes, and this is the exact point. If a person is less evolved spiritually in their consciousness, then their understanding of the text and understanding of Jesus or understanding of the world will be limited by that. If the person is more evolved in their consciousness, their perception, their cognition, their experience of the world will be that much higher. So the whole idea of Indian spirituality is for the practitioner to evolve his consciousness rather than worry about too much about what someone else achieved or didn't achieve. It's like if I want to reduce weight, it doesn't help me to read the history of people who reduced weight. I have to do it for myself. And if I have to change my lifestyle and become better at eating or in any respect, I have to do it on my own body here and now. So the spiritual quest in the Indian tradition is the personal enhancement of the individual, and if they follow Jesus as a role model or someone else, they should learn what they can from that person's experience to be able to replicate it in their own life.
The thing that Paul talked about, the fact is, opposed to me just reading the Bible, scriptures, or whatever I want to call it, scrolls or whatever, I need to be an epistle written and seen of all men. So is that a concept that is a part of the culture there, where I suppose myself to be the Bible, I'm myself supposed to be a scripture or whatever I want to call, is that appropriate as well?
Yes, that is the term. The term I use for that idea is called embodied mind, which means the mind is in my body. The text is my body. My being becomes the text. So the text is not a piece of third-party account of history that happened to someone else. The text is me here and now and my own experiences. And what I learned from that historical text is a guideline that tells me, it's like a roadmap, it tells me what I'm supposed to do in order to have all those experiences for myself. Because everyone in the Indian spiritual tradition is born with the same divine potential as Jesus. There is no original sin, fallen soul that needs to be redeemed through a historical act of someone else. We are, in fact, originally divine ourselves.
Okay, so that's another subject there which we can get into a little bit later on. But let's take an example, opposed to me talking about love as a historical perspective. It seems like what Gandhi and other teachers from your land should be the love. Don't talk about love. Don't just say there's a God that loves, but be the love, be the healing, be the whatever that you're supposed to be. Is that a part of it as well?
That is absolutely correct. Living the Jesus lifestyle and living the way he lived, thinking the way he thought, doing the things he did, is much more important than praying to him or reading, reciting, memorizing, because no matter how much I read about, you know, what Mozart did, doesn't make me a musician. I have to actually start playing the music myself. So in the same sense, I have to actually be as much as I can the way Jesus was. And that's, so it's a path of practice in the body while you're alive, not, gee, I believe in him, and so after I die, I'll go to heaven. So you have to do it while you're alive the best you can.
Okay, so now you're going somewhere else here. So I guess the, is heaven, paradise, utopia, a place, or is it a state of consciousness?
It's a state of consciousness. And in Indian spirituality, you also have the idea, a very central idea of reincarnation, which means that after a person dies, there will be a transition period which could be called a temporary heaven or hell, which is a state of purging, learning, experiencing. So you could have good experiences, bad experiences. It's a period of cleansing. But then you are born again and you keep evolving. So there's a certain account, opening account in this life, which you inherit from your previous deeds. So this is how people in India would explain that some people are born in Bill Gates' house and they're very rich, and somebody else is born to, it seems like, you know, a parent fault of their own. They're born a poor person, a homeless person. They may be born physically handicapped. Somebody else is born a genius. So in Christianity, it's now easy to explain why different people are born differently, because the idea of a past life, previous incarnation is not there. Whereas in the Indian spiritual traditions, you explain the circumstances of a person's birth by the way they lived their life previously. So what that means is my destiny is in my hands. It's not that I should blame my parents for being poor or to be jealous that Bill Gates' kids are rich, because I am getting what I deserve from my past. And in this life, I should do the best I can because that will affect me in my future life.
I hate to ask you to do this, but just give me a brief synopsis of the other 3 points in that chapter. Just give me kind of what you mean, number 2, 3, and number 4 in the introduction.
Very quickly, the second point of difference is the Indian idea of unity is an integral unity, whereas the Western idea of unity is a synthetic unity. And what I mean by this is integral unity is sort of organic. All the parts are sort of intertwined and one, and they're not separable. Whereas the Western civilization is a combination of the Judeo-Christian or Hebraic tradition on one side and the Hellenistic Greek thought, rational thought, which was added later, and which was incompatible and had many problems. With the two sides have always been at in mutual tension, and that's why today you have a tension between creationism and evolution, and you have all kinds of tension between the so-called, you know, the religious right and the secular left. So this kind of a synthetic unity, where you know there has to be some force or some intellectual compulsion to keep the two together, does not exist in India, because the tradition of dharma includes science, includes progress, includes materialism as part of the spiritual tradition. So you do not have to bring it from the outside, and therefore it's more organic.
I wish we could talk more and more concerning this powerful book, but our time has run out. The name of the book is entitled Being Different. I'd like for you to tell us how to get a copy of the book. Let us know about it on the website and Facebook. and we just need to schedule you back to talk some more, okay?
Okay. So the website is www.beingdifferentbook.com. So the name of the book is Being Different, and I've added the word book afterwards, so it's beingdifferentbook.com. When you go there, you can see a lot of videos which we've loaded. I just had a big event with a Harvard professor and a Jesuit theologian, and he recommends my book. He thought very highly of it. I've had some discussions with an Anglican, a church guy. So all these videos are there, and you can also, on the right-hand side, click the button and order a copy.
This will be featured at DrAvin.com, the Business of Wisdom. I talk to global leaders like you and thinkers on a daily basis. Also, it's available at DrAvin.com. And you continue to have a remarkable, amazing day, sir.